जय गोपी जन बालबा गिरिवर धारे जय गोपी जन बालबा गिरिवर धारे शोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्ण टू एवरीवन एंड एक्चुअली भक्ति आर्ज प्रीतिवर्धन महाराज इज एक्सक्यूज्ड फॉर गिविंग लेक्चर ही इज ऑन द वन फंक्शन इन गुरुकुल सो ही रिक्वेस्टेड मी टू गिव अ लेक्चर एंड आई होप आई विल प्रेजेंट हिम इन अ डिसेंट एंड प्रॉपर वे। This morning we're going to be reading from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, text 11. If you can correct me, so that this is the 11th verse, but the text number 10 should also be read. Yeah? Okay. So first I will read the 10th shloka and then you can repeat after me 11th. Vrajeva sankim akaron madhupuryam chakeshavaham brataram chavadit kamsam Maturadhatadarhanam. Translation. Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and in Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in Shastras. Purport. One's maternal uncle, the brother of one's mother, is on the level of one's father. When a maternal uncle has no son, his nephew legally inherits his property. Therefore, why did Krishna directly kill Kamsa, the brother of his mother? Maharaj Parikshit was very much inquisitive about the facts in this regard. Shloka 11. Please correspond. Deham Manusham Ashrityam Kati Varshani वृष्णिभिः यदुपूर्यं सह अवाचीत् पत्न्याः कति अभावन् प्रभोः देहमनुषम् आश्रित्य Kati Varshani Vrishnibhi Kati Varshani Vrishnibhi Yadupuryam Sahavatsi Yadupuryam Sahavatsi Patnya Katya Bhavan Prabhoho Deham Manusham Ashritya Kati Varshani Vrishnibihi Yadupuryam Sahavatsi Patnya Katya Bhavan Prabhoha. Prabhus. Mataji. Deham Badi Manusham, exactly like a man, Ashrityam, accepting, Kati Varshani, how many years, Vrishnibihi, in the company of the Vrishnis, those who were born in the Vrishni family. Yadupuryam in Dvaraka, in the residential quarters of Yadus, Saha with Abhatsi, the Lord lived, Patnyaham, wives, Kati, how many, Abhavam, were there, Prabhoham, of the Lord. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet He appears as a human being. For how many years did He live with the descendants of Vrishni? How many wives did He marry? And for how many years did He live in Dvaraka? In many places, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Sachid Ananda Vigraha, possessing a spiritual blissful body. His bodily feature is Narakriti, that is exactly like that of a human being. Here the same idea is repeated in the words Manushyam Ashrityam, which indicate that he accepts a body exactly like that of a man. Everywhere it is confirmed that Krishna is never nirākara or formless. He has his form exactly like that of a human being. There is no doubt about this.
Om Jnanam Dhimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shrivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sarva Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Guru Guranga Jayataha Shri Radha Krishna Bhyam Namaha Hare Krishna to everyone. It is a great pleasure and honor to be with all of you in this Transcendental Dham, Shri Mayapur Dham, on this Sunday. And to read from Srimad Bhagavatam. We have opportunity to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam the highest topic explaining all Vedic scriptures. Vedic scriptures are explaining what is Dharma and what is Brahma. Vedayati Dharmam Brahma cha Vedaha. Veda is that which explains what is Dharma and what is Brahma, what is transcendence and what is our duty towards transcendence. So we should see in that context the today's shloka or shlokas, what is Brahma and how to see our duty towards the Lord. What we can learn from today's shloka. The establisher, enunciator of the Dharma itself is the Lord Krishna, and he is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham, that whenever and wherever there is decline in religion and predominance of irreligion, I appear. Why he appears? He appears to protect the holy persons, to destroy the miscreants, and to re-establish the religious principles. Paritranaya sadhunam vinasha chadushkritam dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna explains why he comes. Furthermore, he explains that by understanding these activities, person will get liberated. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. So janma and karma, which is divya, which is transcendental, is not ordinary. So Lord Krishna's activities are not ordinary, although in this shloka we find that he accepts the narakriti, the human form. Manusham ashritya, is the man or human. So the Lord accepts the form, and his activities, the birth activities, look ordinary. But we should understand the real reason why the Lord is appearing, and how his activities are transcendental. And by understanding the platform on which he is acting, and by us acting on that platform, we'll be liberated and devoted to the Lord. So the speciality of this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam called Vamshanucharita, it is the description of dynasties and the character of kings. It is described more in itihasas. Itihasas are taking one topic of Puranas, explaining in detail. So the Puranas are explaining the dynasties, but in itihasas, particularly in Mahabharata, we will see the Kuru dynasty, Kuru Vamsha. In Ramayana, we will see Surya Vamsha, the dynasty of Lord Ramachandra. And in the appendix to Mahabharata, we will see the Chandra Vamsha, the dynasty, moon dynasty, in which Lord Krishna appeared. So if we want to read more about the details of birth and activities of Lord Krishna, we can read Harivamshi Purana as well as other scriptures. So in these scriptures established that the Lord Krishna is always looking through the eyes of scriptures. So, but in the mind of conditioned soul, the doubt may arise, samshaya, that if the Lord is so pure, how he can kill his maternal uncle? It was asked by Maharaj Parikshit in previous verse. Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in Shastras. The scriptures are saying that Lord Krishna, one of his qualities, that he always looks through the eyes of scriptures. Then how he could do such activity? And the Maharaj Parikshit, representing our mentality, is asking such question. Because if we don't understand the purity of Lord Krishna, we'll never be able to love him. Srila Prabhupada said that he established this movement to enable us to know and love God. So if you don't know someone, how you can love him? It's not possible. No? So we should know Krishna, and we should know why he is doing such activities, like killing his mother's brother. And obviously scriptures are strictly prohibiting killing maternal's uncle, equating that by killing the father. Scriptures are saying shasati dharayati iti dharma iti shastra. Shastra or scripture is then which establish discipline by which you will be liberated. Shasati dharayati iti dharma iti shastra. Excuse me. So how we can be liberated by these activities? If Lord Krishna killed, how we could be liberated by performing the sinful act? And Maharaj Parikshit, same as Arjuna, his grandfather, speaking from the level of Dharma and Artha Shastra. So in this position looks like they are acting on the level that they don't know the devotional service. Although they want to hear about the Lord, but they still in their minds the confusion. Why would Lord kill someone? Why would he disobey the scriptural rules which he is actually enunciating? In order to find the answer for that, we should recall those shlokas from Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhanam, that Lord appears in this world actually to protect sadhus. And in his family we can see that there was great devotees. So in order to protect the devotees, Lord is killing the miscreants. Vinashaya cha duskritam. He is destroying them, vinashaya. So we may think of if Lord is then killing his enemies, then we can also kill. No, this is Shastra Vidhi, the scriptural injunction. But we should know that we can act in our lives only according to our dharma, our position. And killing is not actually forbidden. We know in the law that a person can kill in self-defense in order to protect others. Even in modern law, it is allowed to kill. But we should know that at that moment we have adhikar, we have qualification to do such act. So, because it is duty to protect good citizens, sometime person must act like that. So even in ordinary society, people are acting like that. And the act of killing is not judged just by activity, by the fact, but by the intention. If someone shoots someone or stabs him with knife, he may kill his body. And that is the fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is why he killed him. Maybe with good motivation, maybe with bad motivation. So depending on that, the act will be judged. So we should always see in life what is the intention of person. And by that we can judge what is karma, what is akarma, what is vikarma. Of course, some activities are never allowed because they may ruin the social status of person, they may ruin the integrity of other persons. So some activities are never allowed, although we may have good intention. So by understanding this in background, we should also understand why Krishna is acting like that. We may think that, oh, Krishna, he's protecting his beloved one, so he's very much partial. No? But we also in life see that if someone is acting in a good way, he deserves to be protected from those who are attacking them. No? So Krishna is actually not acting in opposite to scriptures. We should see that sanctioning scriptures should always give not only karma, also give guna. Dharma Shastra especially, which is referred by Maharaj Parikshit, is saying in prescribing actually not only activity of all four varnas and ashrams, but also the mentality, the guna, the quality by which they need to be performed. So that is the difference between modern and Vedic law. In modern law, we don't see the quality by which you need to perform the duty. You have just rights and duties, obligations, but the mentality by which you do the activity is actually determining is that activity good or bad. That's very important in our lives that we understand when we are judging others' activities. We should know what is their intention, what is the quality of their activity. And we should also know, is it their duty? Sometimes we have the samanya dharma. Samanya dharma is general duty which everyone is observing. And we have specific duties, which is according to our conditioned nature. For example, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, they don't have same duties. And in society they should not act in the same way. And we should not judge them in the same way. Sometime Kshatriya would bribe someone. So what we would say, some devotee would bribe someone. It looks like it's not actually moral. But if we know that Kshatriya sometime needs to do these things because of diplomacy, we will know that his consciousness is not polluted. And that is the most important factor. If a person have a consciousness while doing the activity, if he have a good consciousness, his activity won't put him down. He won't be contaminated by the results. If he is doing that out of duty. Therefore, it's very important to understand nishkama karma yoga. And Krishna is saying that he is acting on that level in Bhagavad Gita. He's saying that no work can affect him, and he is not going for the results of action. So that is selfless activity based on duty, based on our nature. So if someone have a nature to teach, if someone have a nature to protect, if someone have a nature to cultivate the goods, if someone have a nature to serve, we should judge him according to that. And not that all activities have the same potency and same quality. So the activity of Shudra might be with less quality than the activity of Brahmana, but we should know that he is like that, his condition qualities are like that. So we should not apply artificially the same rule for everyone, because in Vedic society we see everyone individually. And we see, when we see everyone individually, that can uplift us and can uplift them. And that is the real purpose of Dharma, to uplift the person. Sometimes because of Niyamagraha we see that, oh, he's not following, he should be rejected from society, he's not welcome. But we should see that according to his position, what we can do, that he can uplift himself. Someone may follow a few principles, or someone can follow a few rounds, but that is fine for his level. No? We should not think that he is not welcomed, that he is not actually progressing. Because Dharma is not only rules, Dharma is rules which are uplifting you. And although we have established rules by Samstapaka Acharya in our society, we should know that persons are uplifting themselves through gradual process. Otherwise, if we don't accept the principle of gradual process, we will all become mityacharas. Mityachara means the one who pretends that he is on some another level than he actually is. So by trying to follow with good mentality, we will uplift ourselves and accept the Bhagavad Vidhi, which is direct devotional service for those who are liberated, Pancharatrika Vidhi, which is direct devotional service for those who are conditioned by Sattva Guna. There is also Vaidika Vidhi, which includes the Varnashram, the duties in Varnashram. So since most of the persons are not liberated and have other contaminations except Sattva Guna, they should accept the role of duties in Varna and Ashrama. And naturally people are taking that. If there would be no Varnashram, there would be no Brahmacharis, there would be no Grihasthas, Vanaprastharas or Sannyasis. No? So ISKCON is naturally following that by accepting the roles according to their advancement. And Krishna is saying that actually it is better to perform our duty imperfectly than others' duty perfectly. So therefore we should not only realize who we are on transcendental level, but we should also realize who we are on our condition level. And that will help us actually to establish our nature, and from that to continue in spiritual path. In Srimad Bhagavatam it said, Stani stita shruti gatam. The person establish himself in his nature, and then he's progressing in shruti, in hearing of transcendental message. It's not that scriptures are neglecting our conditioned nature. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is trying to help us to come on transcendental level through our conditioned nature. Because Arjuna, by Varna, he is a Kshatriya. So Bhagavad Gita is not teaching us Ashram Dharma. Bhagavad Gita is teaching us Varna Dharma. How to use our conditioned nature and our duty in service of Krishna. That is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, how we can, through Nishkama Karma Yoga, through Buddhi Yoga, progress towards Bhakti. Although the essence of our spiritual path is Bhakti, it's starting with Nishkama Karma Yoga. When we are with knowledge, performing our duties and performing them not for the sake of doing some activities, but for the sake of love of God. So the same Nishkama Karma which is explained in the third chapter for devotee becomes Bhakti Yoga. So depends on which level we are seeing. Some instructions, they will have different effect on us. So devotee will see Nishkama Karma as a devotional service, but as a path of progress in yoga, some karma yogi will see that as a performance of duties, ordinary social duties. But in Daivi Varnashrama, because we have some of transcendental consciousness, the same activity of Nishkama Karma will become Bhakti. So for Arjuna, the act of fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in the role of Kshatriya, becomes Bhakti. And that is the science of Bhagavad Gita, actually, showing us how we can progress from our conditioned nature to our transcendental nature. And when we are acting in that way, we won't be affected by the results. Because Nishkama means without motivation for results. And Krishna is acting on the same way. So when Krishna is performing his duty of protecting his devotees, he doesn't have desire of any fruitive desire for fruitive result. So if person doesn't have that desire, he's free from reactions. So no one can judge him because his consciousness is always transcendental. And the uniqueness of Krishna's appearance in this world is not that it's only birthday, it is a transcendental appearance, because his consciousness, when he comes in this world, doesn't change. It's not under modes of material nature. When living being is coming in this world, his consciousness is polluted by qualities of material nature, and therefore looks like we are like our identity is here. But when the Lord comes, his consciousness doesn't change, because he have always transcendental consciousness. His activities are also transcendental. So we should judge these acts based on the consciousness of person. And whenever we read the activities of Lord Krishna, we should know that they are divyam, janma karma chame divyam. And upon acting in the way like Lord Krishna has prescribed, we'll also be able to be liberated to Krishna through devotion to him. So I would offer this lecture to Lord Krishna himself, because this canto speaking exclusively about his activities. And I would like to inquire, is there maybe any question or comment from your side? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that the words manusham asritya, which indicate that he accepts a body exactly like that of a man. So when somebody accepts something, means he had something else before, now he has accepted a body of a man. Can you elaborate on that, please?
So Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita that as one surrenders unto him, he rewards him accordingly. So Krishna revealed his form according to our desire. So the desire of living being, which is the feminine, is to have particular relationship with God, and God reveals himself in that way. So because we are conditioned by our nature, the supreme masculine Adipurusha, he is revealing himself in the form which we can accept. And when we say the form also means the guna. There is no difference between rupa and guna. So that means that he acts as a man. Although he's doing ordinary activity, we know that his consciousness is transcendental. He doesn't act because he have desire for fruitive results. So therefore that quality of activity creates the form which is with which we can reciprocate. So therefore the activities of Lord Krishna are attractive for human beings. Otherwise we would not be able to relate to them. But we see also in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is revealing to Arjuna the Viratrupa and the form of Lord Narayana. And he is saying actually that this form, human form, is actually his original also. But because of the quality in which he acts, we can think that some form is human form-like. It is ordinary. Just like a soldier in war, he acts with the same form, but the quality is different. But when he comes home, he acts in different quality. So you would say, this is another person. He have a gentle heart. He is not very, how to say, rough like a soldier. So the quality changes the form. So this explained, it is called avatarvada in scriptures, that how avatars are accepting form according to our desire. So I will say like that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Swamiji. So yada yada hi dharmasya glanit bhavati bharata. Because whenever this problem is coming, you know, Krishna is taking the avatar now. He is taking advantage, is one of his incarnations. So many incarnations are there. In that incarnations, Buddha avatar is also another incarnation. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam also it is clear that Buddha is also an incarnation. But whereas, you know, subsequently what happened now, when Buddha appeared, when materialism was rampant, and materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas.
Can you repeat this last sentence?
But the Lord Buddha appeared when materialism was rampant, and materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas. At that time, Lord Buddha arrived. So, Lord Buddha, when Buddha was an incarnation and corrected the error of human beings like ahimsa, etc. Lord Buddha completely cut out the ahimsa. Earlier it was there. Subsequently, Shankaracharya arrived and he introduced the Mayavada philosophy. So when Lord Buddha is the Lord God, Supreme Personality Godhead, and is very clearly wanted to avoid the ahimsa and all those things, why the Mayavadi philosophy has come after that? Why the Shankaracharya introduced this Mayavadi principle, and in the Padma Purana also Lord Shiva's, the Mayavadi philosophy is veiled Buddhism. What is the reason for that?
It is the what? Weak?
It's veiled. Veiled means it's, they close the Buddhism. When Mayavadi introduced, you know, they close the Buddhism.
Okay. I'll try to answer.
But actually Buddhism
is... questions. Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Prabhupada, from where are you reading? From which book is that?
I mean, it is Padma Purana.
This is Srila Prabhupada book?
Yes, yes. Okay. Only I am reading only the Prabhupada books only.
Krishna. I am not checking, I just wanted to know. Thank you for asking. So, Lord Krishna appear himself and whenever there is a decline of a religion, but he's not that, it is not that he always appears as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes he appears in a Shakti Vaishavatar. And the Lord Buddha is empowered by Shakti of Lord Krishna. So therefore he is not Swayam Bhagavan, he is empowered by Swayam Bhagavan. To do dharmic activities and to uplift the humanity according to mentality which they have. So the Buddha Shastra, as explained in Puranas, have explained for persons who cannot follow Vedas, they are not qualified to follow Vedas, therefore Buddha Shastra have appeared to give them the standard of life which can uplift them at least to some level. Therefore Lord Buddha was propagating Ahimsa, which is one of the four pillars of Vedas. So only when we follow Vedas we can be successful in religion. So any religion which is successful, which is authorized, is following Vedic tradition. And in Srimad Bhagavatam he said, only Lord can do this. As Vyasada, he established Vedic principles in Vedas and Puranas, but as Lord Buddha, he rejected them. Same God, no? Srila Vyasadeva is also Shakti Vaishavatar, empowered by Lord. He is literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. So he established the Vedas, but then he rejected them as Lord Buddha. So we should see according to Desha Kala Patra how the avatar is acting according to his dharma, bhava, adhikar. So different avatars and different authors of Vedic scriptures that are acting according to their duty, the mood and qualification which they have, how much they are empowered. So it is not contradictory if we understand the point which I said in the lecture, that Veda eti dharma brahma cha vedaha, that dharma is our duty in relation to Brahma. So if some persons are elevated through performance of some of the portions of Vedas, then this is also called dharma. In character is Vedic, Vedatva. That is also Vedic. So Lord Buddha have rejected the Vedas, and Shankaracharya, he re-established the Vedas on the level of Jnana. Therefore he made a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, not on Karma Kanda. Because Karma Kanda was rejected by Buddhists. So if he would re-establish again the Karma Kanda, that level wouldn't be enough for persons to elevate themselves from the present conditioning. So we see that in those times people were conditioned very much by Karma Kanda. So the Shankaracharya have established Veda on the level of Jnana Kanda. Therefore he wrote commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and it is basics of Mayava Shastra. And Mayava Shastra, it is also covered Buddhism, because Brahman by nature is Saguna, have transcendental qualities, and it is Nirguna, doesn't have material qualities. But in Mayava Shastra is presented that Brahman doesn't have qualities, and usually when we think about Brahman, sometimes even as devotees we think as void light. But that is not actually the Brahman. Brahman level means eternality. It means purity. It means many, many qualities. So it is Saguna. So we should think in that way, that Brahman is Saguna. I'm not saying about Bhagavan level, Brahman level. It is many transcendental qualities which are the radiance of Lord Krishna's qualities. So Mayava Shastra was there to uplift the people to the level of Veda, especially Vedanta. But then other acharyas appeared and have established the original teachings of Vedas, the original commentary on the Vedas. And finally Lord Chaitanya appeared and presented the most authentic Vedic philosophy, Achintya Bheda, Bheda Tattva. So I will say like that. I hope I have answered all of your questions.
Excellent, Swamiji. Very nice clarification. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Maybe some more questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj Parikshit gave up all eating and sleeping, as well as his whole kingdom, his family. And you've also, in the renounced order of life, do you ever get lonely, or you feel like,
Excuse me, this last part I couldn't hear because of external and internal noise. Can you repeat the last part?
Do you ever get, in the renounced order of life, you feel lonely, or like, because, you know, there's many Matajis that would probably like a man like you. You have so much knowledge, prestige.
Are you asking me personally?
Yes. What makes you want to give up all that and try to live alone as a single man?
Okay, thank you. So Prabhuji is testing my dharma. I'm trying to live as a brahmachari under the guidance of my teachers. So, and I find the pleasure in that, the pleasure which is higher than any sense enjoyment. So I would say that if we are not satisfied, if we are not blissful in our spiritual life, then we cannot inspire others, and we cannot also perform our duties. So I would say that the only solution for us is bliss. If we perform our duties for the pleasure of authorities, and not only authorities as Krishna and as Srila Prabhupada, but your present authorities, then your nature will be formed in a way that is pleasing to others. And Krishna is saying that he is more pleased when his devotees are pleased. And the one who is saying that, who is the devotee of his devotee, is his devotee. So we should try that in our lives. And we see that this actually functions. When we are trying to please devotees, that we are very much accepted by community, we are very much accepted by others. We cannot actually establish our identity without relationships with others. Just like a child cannot have relationship with our existence of mother, we should also respect all our authorities. And from that progress towards higher authorities and higher qualities in life. So that is what I learned from my guru and from my authorities in Gurukul. Thank you, Prabhu. Something else, maybe? Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna, my question is on the connection between Varnashram Dharma and Bhakti. We see the history of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Lord Chaitanya's movement flourished when the Varnashram system was almost broken. It's under the Muslim rule, and yet it flourished. And the first Bhagavad Gita commentary was written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about 200 years later. And very often, when even in Krishnadas Kaviraj quoted the Bhagavad Gita, he focused on the bhakti verses, not so much the Varnashram Dharma and Karma Yoga verses. And yet we see that Prabhupada said that, you know, he feels that 50% of his work is not done because he didn't establish Varnashram Dharma. So it seems historically Varnashram Dharma was not almost minimized by the commentaries of the previous acharyas. And they focused more on internal bhakti. But yet, why did Prabhupada say that Varnashram Dharma is so important for bhakti?
Thank you. So the original point that at the time of Lord Chaitanya, the Varnashram was established. And that's certainly because he himself was sannyasi, no? If someone is sannyasi, that's part of Varnashram. That's not part of Bhagavad Vidhi or Pancharatrika Vidhi. That's Vaidika Vidhi. So it was established, and it always exists actually, but may not be in scientific way. Srila Prabhupada said that in all societies, even in animal society, the qualities of activities are always there. So in every society we find intellectuals, administrators, the merchants and the servants or laborers. So, but the problem is that when the posts, the activities which are prescribed for some quality are not accepted or given to persons who are qualified for that. So that is a problem with modern society. They have all varnas in a sense of activity, but not in a sense of quality. So when Srila Prabhupada said that varnasham is not possible in this age, that there is in one verse, it is said, it means actually that is not possible in a way to fully scientifically establish, but each one of us can follow his nature and offer that nature to God. And Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas are not rejecting varnashram. They're rejecting the mundane aspect of varnashram. Varnashram by itself is not either material or spiritual. It is how we use it. On manomaya level, varnashram is material, but on vijnanamaya level, the varnashram is transcendental. Manomaya level is the level of performance of duties which are given for us by birth, by nature. But the vijnanamaya level is the level when we understand our nature in connection with God. Because each and every one of us got qualities from God, from no one else. So we can offer these qualities back to God. It is His qualities actually. He is Brahmana, He is Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. He is that actually. The body is not Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. The condition consciousness is. So the qualities, the conditioned soul is identifying with these qualities. And therefore takes the one of the four original ahankaras, the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. So the acharyas, they are not rejecting varnasham, they are rejecting the mundane aspect. You should not do niyamagraha, to follow the rules and regulations only for the sake of following them, like smartas do. So we should act on the level of vijnanamaya. We should know that there is a soul which is conditioned, and for the soul to act the most naturally is to offer to God what he have obtained, what he already have, and through that level become liberated and then devoted to God. There is difference between liberation and devotion. We know that difference. So I wouldn't say that acharyas have ever neglected or even minimized the potency and the importance of varnashrama, just the mundane aspect. So in Vaidika Vidhi we use what is favorable for Krishna consciousness. If some person can follow Bhagavat Vidhi or Pancharatrika Vidhi without interfering into any of ashrams, he doesn't need varnashrama. So when we say that Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't need varnashrama, it's true. But who can follow that? Who is Paramahamsa who can hear whole day, chant holy name, remember the Lord? Who can just worship deity constantly? Very rarely, no? Very rarely. There is such persons, but as a large society, we need Vaidika Vidhi. And it was established by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada started movement by establishing Brahmacharya Ashram first. Then some devotees married. Then Sannyasa Ashram. So he established all these ashrams, and he established Brahmanava. Because we become Brahmanas not by our birth, most of us, but by guna and karma, which we get through ashram. Because ashram is more important. Ashram purifies our nature, and then our daily duties we can perform on the level of Brahmana, with the qualities of a Brahmana. Therefore, this is how a devotee becomes Brahmana. We won't change our nature, conditioned nature. We may purify it. So that means that if the devotee takes some post of Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, in society, even karmi society, he doesn't mean that he loses his devotion. He knows this situation is given by God. God creates the society, not president. Chaturvarnam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. Krishna is saying, I have divided the society according to guna and karma. So if we take the role in his society, we offer that duty to him as offering of love, then it's bhakti. So we should understand the difference between manomaya and vijnanamaya. It's different types of consciousness. That's all right? Thank you, Prabhu. If there is no further questions, I would like to thank you very much for your kind attention. Grantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Oh, my goodness.